448.
Christmas Eve, let's glory of the Christ who came for glory, does he rescue me from sin and misery? He is loving kindness, call me in from sin and shame and glory. Hallelujah, Jesus, ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can make the world a sinner, lifted from the miry pit, set it free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus, ransomed me. From the depth of sin and sadness to the heights of glory, where Jesus lifted me in mercy, holy grace. With his precious blood he bought me when I knew it not before me. They loved me, ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can make the world a sinner, lifted from the miry pit, set it free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus, ransomed me. By and by, with joy increasing and with gratitude unceasing, lifted up to me with my seeker coming. I will join the host exceeding in the end of everything. To the King of all who ransomed me. Hallelujah, what a Savior, who can make the world a sinner, lifted from the miry pit, set it free. I will ever tell the story, shouting glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah, Jesus, ransomed me.
Well, before we have word prayer, before we sing, we want to have a word of prayer. I'm going to ask Brother Cameron to feel me to lead us at this time.
Dear Lord, most gracious Heavenly Father, what a privilege and a blessing it is to be in your house this day, just to be able to lift it up by the preaching of your word, to be able to lift up our voices and worship and praise you, and just for many magnificent things and blessings that you do each and every day all throughout eternity. Lord, we're thankful that you brought us here into your house safely, and that you allow us to have a place that's set apart from this world, from the goings on and the things that pull us away from you and our closeness and our oneness towards you, and looking to give you glory, Lord. And so we're thankful that you allow us to have a place here, just to wholly confide in the things that we should be setting aside for just our learnings and just for our edifications. And Lord, we're just thankful that each and every family that's here, every person that's here, we're just thankful that you brought them here. And Lord, we're just thankful for Sister Tracy Ross, just for just looking to join our congregation, Lord. And we just pray that you extend the walk of care over her and her household. And Lord, we're just thankful just for the many other things that you do for us in our daily lives. We're thankful for the health and wellness that you've given us as we're able to be here. We just ask that you just be with those that are on our prayer list, and Lord, just those that have lost loved ones, and those that just might need your healing hand, Lord. You know what their needs may be. You know who's on our hearts and our minds, and Lord, just the answered prayers that we bring to you. We're thankful that Paul's and family and just their young son, that you just, Lord, that only if you could manage to make just a scenario like that come out,
yes,
just with the miracle and just with the young Titus Matthew and just his recovery, Lord, I pray that you just continue to watch over him, his family, just give them strength from only you can, Lord. Just be with Brother John as he brings the message this afternoon. Just be with just the message that he has prepared. Just pray that you just give him the words to speak and to to bring your word with full authority. Lord, we're just thankful again that we're able to be here in the services. Just clear out our minds just to give you just the full focus for everything that that you prepared. Just forgive me of my sins. In Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
sing one more for Brother John brings the message. Turn to hymn number 502. My Savior, first of all, 502. Brother John.
You all want to turn to the book of Proverbs. We're going to look in chapter 1. We're going to do a contrasting of two different groups that are calling out to us. One is the evil group, one is the good group. Obviously, when we are saved, we have a new nature, but we still have this flesh. We still intermingle with people on this earth. And of course, we're always the target of Satan. So we have plenty of attacks that come toward us. And it depends on who you listen to, how things will turn out. And the book of Proverbs has a lot of comparison and contrast between fools and wise people, between good actions and bad actions. So here in chapter 1, mostly in chapter 1, there's a contrast between two different parties. And one party starts in verse 10, if sinners entice thee. Chapter 1, Proverbs 1:10, my son, if sinners entice thee. And then we're going to look at verse 20, wisdom crieth to us also. So this is the two calls that depends on who you answer to will depend on how your life goes. And we're going to compare these. My Bible is real nice because this whole chapter is on one page. So if your Bible is set up where you have to flip back and forth, sorry for you, but because we're going to do a lot of flipping back and forth between these two sections. And I say this up front, that whenever you read the book of Proverbs again, don't just read it as, okay, they said this and this is a good idea and now we go on to something new. But try to put it together. God put this together in a certain way. And obviously there's a reason why he put it together the way he did. And if we sort of look at surrounding verses and compare things, that it might be instructive. Instead of just reading what it says, compare what it says with what it says. As the verse says, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. Study our Bible. So this is the call of these two sections. As I said, in verse 10, my son, this is Solomon writing to his son, or this could be applicable to any son or to any child, not necessarily his son, but any child. If sinners entice thee, and that's the way sinners usually do. That's the way they approach us. They entice us. And when you entice somebody, you try to make things look good. You try to give them all the good things. Well, if you do this, this is going to happen. You can have this and this and this and this. So that's enticing, making something look good. And a lot of times they do that, and sometimes it does look good. And you want to fall for it and you answer that call. So in verse 20, like I said, wisdom cries. Now, wisdom in the book of Proverbs is seen as a she. And verse 21 says, she crieth. So it's seen as a she, but that's because in the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word wisdom is a feminine noun. So to make the pronouns match the Hebrew, it has to be a she. This also, though, goes in with the feminine aspect of God. Now, most people, especially Baptists, I think, they don't like to hear that. You know, that sort of New Age stuff, trying to cross genders and put, you know, you be whatever gender you want to when you wake up every morning. You decide what you are. And, you know, the Bible definitely refers to God as Father, not as Mother. But there's verses that talk about God being a nursing father. And whether you want to think of that as in the profession of nursing and helping somebody that's down, or as a mother nurses a child, the Bible refers to God as a nursing father. There are other places where the feminine side of God is brought forth. And there's nothing wrong with that, because God is neither feminine nor masculine. Now, when he decides to take up a body in the figure of Jesus Christ, he chose a masculine figure. But still, God himself is a spirit, and he's neither masculine nor feminine. You got words like, I think it's Shaddai, that is actually a feminine word. The Shekinah glory, that's a feminine word. So these words that refer to God in the feminine, yeah, in that language, they're feminine. But still, I think God's sort of showing us that he does have that side. And remember, I said this before, that when God created mankind, that he created them male and female. It took both male and female to represent God. He didn't just make male and say, okay, I'm done. That's a perfect likeness of what I am. No, he had to create the female also. And he created the female the exact same day. And he created male and female to represent himself and to be the perfect image of himself. So God does have a feminine side, if you would. And this is part of it. Wisdom. God is all wisdom. That's a good characteristic of God, is wisdom. So this would be one of the female, feminine characteristics of God. And you ladies, you ought to revel in that fact that wisdom is feminine.
Mm-hmm.
You can lord that over your husbands or boyfriends or whatever. That wisdom is feminine. So, wisdom crieth out. Verse 21, she cried. Wisdom is trying to overshadow the enticing of the evil people. The evil people entice. And, you know, it's almost like in the back corner that they're whispering, and, oh, yeah, why don't you go out? Well, come with us. We'll do this, and we'll do this, and we'll get this, and we'll be this. But wisdom, she's not hiding anything. She's just right out open with her wisdom and with her smarts and understanding and knowledge and what she can do for you. So she is crying right out in the public. In fact, back in verse 11 now, and these are all in chapter 1 until we get to the end. Then we'll go to chapter 2 for a couple verses. So in chapter 1, verse 11, it says, my son, verse 10, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they come, if they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us work privily for the innocent without a cause. These are all things that you do in secret. Again, you notice, come with us and lay in wait. That means you're hiding. You're hiding behind something. You're creating a trap for somebody. And then you'll spring out from your hiding spot. You're laying in wait for blood, meaning you're wanting to kill somebody. Let us lurk privately. The word lurk itself means that you're sort of in the shadows and you're trying to be not noticed. But he adds in the word privately, which means secretly or privately. So again, these evil deeds are all about being hidden, about being out of the limelight, lurking about. But you notice in wisdom, verse 20, wisdom crieth without. Now that means outside. So she's out in the public. She's not hiding anything. You know, that's one thing about us Baptists. We're not afraid to discuss anything in the Bible. Anything in the Bible is fair game. Got a problem with what we say about the Bible? Come, we'll discuss it. You know, we'll use the Bible as our proof text for what we believe. We're not hiding anything. We don't got any kind of secret doctrine that you have to be a member for 5 years and pay dues to get the secret doctrine. No, what we preach online, what we preach out there, that's what we believe. We just lay it all out there. Well, that's wisdom. She's crying out in the open. That's what it means when it says that she cried without. She uttered her voice in the streets. Mm-hmm. Can't even get any more public than that. They're out in the streets. So again, you see the differences between these two groups here, the sinners and then wisdom. Contrasting and looking at these different things, you can see that there is a difference here. So one's in secret, one's right out in public. Verse 21, she cried in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gate. In the city, she uttered her words. I mean, over and over again, how many times? What, four different ways that the writer describes how open wisdom is? How obvious it is that they're not hiding anything? That's what wisdom does. Just lays it out there in the open. Now, the results of this, that back in verse 13, the people that are called sinners, verse 10, called them sinners, so that's the way we'll refer to them. Verse 13 says, we shall find all precious substance. Now, this is the sinners that are enticing this person to come with them, join their gang, lurking secretly around things. Yeah, we will find all precious substance. We're going to get rich. We're going to find some stuff. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Fill our houses. Not just a little bit. No, you're going to be filthy rich. You know? And you're going to have so much stuff, you're going to be like the man that said, what can I do? I've got all this stuff. I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barn, and I'll build bigger barns to hold all my stuff. Well, that's what these people are saying. They are going to fill their house with spoil. Verse 14, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And, of course, the purse, again, is a symbol of money and wealth and belongings, possessions. And so they say, yeah, go along with us. Cast your lot in with us. You know, people that sometimes sin, people that intentionally sin, we all sin. We don't like to think that we intentionally sin. We sin by accident, as we once said. But people that just don't care, and, you know, they sin just because they love it. They like company. You know, people that go to the bars, they always want to have company with them. They want to have their friends with them. They want to go into a bar and everybody knows their name and they say, hey, how are you this morning, tonight? You know, people that are got some kind of sinister plot to do something, they're always, I can cut you in on this. And we've got a good deal going here. And why don't you come along with us, you know? They're always trying to cast your lot amongst us because good things are going to happen. We're going to fill your purse. You're going to have money just all over the place. Look down in verse 23 when wisdom is talking. Verse 23, she says, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Now, this is our choice. Do you want spoil? Do you want money? Do you want all this other kind of stuff over here? Or do you want the true spirit? Do you want an understanding spirit and understand the things of God? That's our choice here. And obviously, we as saved people, we should definitely accept the call to receive God's spirit, to receive God's understanding of things, God's knowledge of things, of how things should go. So again, we've got this contrast between these two groups.
Right.
Now, the end of these two groups, if we follow them, verse 18, back to the sinners, they lay wait for their own blood. Now, this refers back up to verse 11. Come with us, let us wait for blood. So they're out there wanting to sin. They want to kill somebody. They want blood to flow. And also in verse 11, it says, let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Verse 18, though, they work privily for their own lives. So these people think they're in control of themselves. They think they've got this plan that they're going to get rich and they're going to kill people and get rid of certain people they don't like. But verse 18 says, no, really what they're doing is they're laying in wait for their own blood. The way they're moving, the way they're going, the path that they're following is their destruction. Yes, they might kill a lot of people along the way, but they'll get theirs in the end. That's what the Bible says. And they work privately for their own lives. Secretly, they don't even know it lots of times, that what they're doing is very destructive. You take somebody that's a drug addict. They'll take it, and they'll take it, and they'll take it, and yeah, people will tell them that they're destroying their bodies and destroying their liver and all this stuff, but still, I mean, you're addicted to it. You keep taking it, and finally gets you, and yeah, they're working secretly for their own lives. Their way of life will cause them destruction. That's what the Bible says there in verse 18. And then 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. So this is the ways of them. This is their ways that they do this stuff. It takes away their life. Taketh away the life of the owners thereof. This is sort of a tricky verse. Because are they talking about the victims, that their lives are going to go away? Or are they talking about the perpetrators, that their lives are going to go away? Well, in the context of verse 18, where he's talking about the perpetrators, these people that live this way, I would say that the life that is taken away are the perpetrators. Their life is going to be taken away. And how many criminals have you heard of or whatever that die at a young age? You know, think of some of the big names that everybody would know, like Jesse James. Read about him. He died rather young. You know, Bonnie and Clyde, they died rather young. A lot of times criminals, they die rather young. And that's what the Bible is promising these people. You live this way, and your life will be cut short. Your life will not come out the way that maybe you've envisioned it. Now, look at verse 33, though. Verse 33 of chapter 1, Proverbs. If you follow after wisdom, though, but also hearken unto me, whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely. As opposed to having your life taken away shortly, no, you're going to dwell safely. You're going to dwell safely. And shall be quiet from fear of evil. Now, these are proverbs. So you can't say 100% of the time this is always going to happen. But you can live, mentioning the three children of Daniel again, were in the fiery furnace. You know, they were threatened with their lives. Heated seven times hotter than heated. You know, we're going to throw you in there if you don't bow down. Do you think they had any fear? From the story in the book of Daniel, it doesn't sound like they had any fear at all. Now, they feared God. That's why they didn't acquiesce to the king and bow down to his idol. No, they had a fear of God, a healthy, reverential, and a fear of God, knowing what God could do to their mortal souls. But do you think they lived in fear of the king? You can do whatever you want to do. Who cares? We're going to follow God. We're not going to bow down. It doesn't sound like they're very fearful to me. So, yes, you were living quiet and from the fear of evil. You know, you can not like evil. You can try to be away from evil and try to get it away from you. But, you know, still, you shouldn't have it's going to come. Jesus promised that. We read that. Have peace, but in the world you're going to have tribulation. You know, but be of good cheer. You know, evil's going to come. Tribulations are going to come. But do you have a fear of those things? Some people have such a fear of doing any of something happening, they won't get in a car. They won't go to the store because of fear of getting germs, fear of having a car accident, fear of some gunman coming in. You know, you can live your whole life in fear, and yes, bad things happen to good people lots of times, but we cannot live in fear of those things. God's in control, as our brother preached this morning. God's in control. That gives us peace within us, saying, God is in control. He's all-powerful. He'll work things the way he wants to work them. So wisdom, following wisdom, when you hearken unto wisdom, you will dwell safely and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Doesn't mean you'll be absent from evil. No, evil's still going to be there, but you'll be free from the fear of evil, free from the fear. Another thing in chapter 2, verse 5, another thing, if you follow the voice of wisdom, chapter 2, verse 5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. See, just a couple of verses before we read about you won't have any fear of evil, but now he's talking about you will have a fear of the Lord. Again, put these verses together, and all of a sudden you see what the proverb writer is saying. So, thou shalt understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. You follow after wisdom, you answer the call that wisdom's out there crying for. These are things that are going to happen to you. You will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Turn one of my favorite scriptures, John 17. I don't know how many times I read this verse as I was reading through the Bible, and then finally one time I read the verse and God opened my eyes and said, reread that again? Look at that? What does that say? Because this is a little different than what most people think. If you were to ask people what eternal life is, they would say, well, it's living forever. Or they'll say, well, it's when you die, you go to heaven, no more sin, no more tears, no more pain. That's everlasting life. That's living eternal. That's eternal life. Well, that's part of it. But this verse in John 17 gives us the definition of what eternal life is. This is Jesus talking, John 17:3. And this is life eternal. And you're already reading the next phrase, aren't you? Preachers do that. They pause for dramatic effect. So don't read the next phrase yet. The verse says, this is life eternal. He's given you the definition. John 17:3. Write it down. This is life eternal. And what does he say? Forgiveness of sins? No. Does he say no more sin, no more tears, no more pain? No. Does he say living forever? No. Does he say living in heaven with Jesus? No. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God.
Amen.
Knowing God. Now, there's a lot in that. You spend hours and hours and hours dissecting knowing God. Amen. What is knowing God? Well, Jesus said that's what life eternal is knowing God, the only true God. Knowing God, that's salvation, that's eternal. So back here in Proverbs, when Proverbs 2:5, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Jesus tells finding the knowledge of God is the same as finding eternal life. That's what Jesus said. What did Jesus say? John 17:3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. That makes a good memory verse. But that's a good verse. Think on that. Meditate on that. What is true life eternal? So that goes right along with this verse. You follow the wisdom call, and you're going to find the knowledge of God. Find the knowledge of God. That's a good verse. That's a good verse. You can see I like it. So back to chapter 1 of Proverbs. Chapter 1. And we've already read this verse once, but the desire of these two groups, the people that follow the one as opposed to the people that follow the other, chapter 1 of Proverbs, verse 19, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. That is their characteristic. That's who they are. They are greedy of gain. They always have to be getting something. They always have to be working for something. They always have to be wanting something. Now, we're at a big disadvantage in the 21st century because we have TV and we have cell phones and internet and you name it, radios, and we have all this other technology stuff. The world is constantly bombarding us with wants, with things that you need to have, things that you should desire. You're not really a man unless you use this deodorant. You know, you're not really whatever. You know all the commercials. You've seen them. If you've watched any TV whatsoever, you've seen all these commercials. That your life is just not complete unless you have this product. You know? And they're trying to get us to want something, to desire something, to have something, to gain something, to get something. We're always... That's not a biblical doctrine. The biblical doctrine is contentment. Contentment. And maybe we don't preach on contentment enough. Now, I know there's nothing wrong with having nice things, driving nice cars, living in a nice house. If God blesses you with a good job, with a lot of money, go for it. Buy a nice house, drive a nice car, have nice things. There's nothing wrong with that. God never puts that down. If God has given you that blessing, then take it and praise the Lord for it. But if that is your sole desire in life, is to have what that person has, to look as best as them, to move into this neighborhood. You know, that's wrong. That's where it's wrong. And that's the number one, that's the only characteristic of these people. They are greedy of gain. Now, obviously, that's not the group you want to follow, because that's not the biblical group. We want to follow after wisdom. Amen. We want to follow after wisdom. Now, I'd like to end here with and you should read both of these passages. Verse 10 through 19 are the evil people. We didn't read all the verses in between. And then also verse 20 through the end of the chapter is wisdom, and on into the next chapter, and the next four or five chapters after that, Proverbs talks about wisdom, because that's what we want to talk about. We don't want to talk about these people that are greedy of gain, that are working around in the private. There used to be a guy back in the day named Mike Warnke, and he in his former life was Satan's high priest. And he, you know, the whole thing. I mean, he did it all. But he got saved. And he was out evangelizing, and he would go from church to church and tell a story. And he even mentioned one time, he says, I think people ask me to come to their churches because they want to hear all the gross and awful things I did as a Satanist high priest. He says, that's not my job. My job is not to uplift Satan and look how cute he is and look how great he was and all the things we did under Satan's power. No, he says, I'm here to preach Jesus Christ. Now, if you come to hear about all the horrible sins that I did, you came to the wrong place. And, you know, the book here spends so many verses, 9 verses, 10 verses, on the awful people. This is what they do. But then, like I said, the next 5 chapters is all about wisdom. Wisdom and wisdom and wisdom. Yeah, let's talk about the good things. Let's talk about what you should be after instead of all the stuff that you shouldn't. So, starting in chapter 2, verse 1 of Proverbs, I just want you to see how we are encouraged to hear the cry of wisdom. When wisdom cries out, saying, hear me, listen to me, follow my ways. Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. Now you notice here already, you receive my words, you hide my commandments, that you might incline thine ear. Incline means lean forward to it. You know, when somebody's got some dirty gossip, it's like, you sort of lean in and give it real. Well, that's what he's saying. Don't do that for bad stuff or gossip. No, do it for wisdom. You know? That's what, incline your ear toward wisdom. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Leaning toward, that's what incline means. Leaning toward and the wisdom. Apply thine heart to understanding. Apply means work. Figure it out. Study. Apply. You know, you apply yourself to something, that means you're working for something. You're really getting at it. And that's what he says. Apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge. Now, wisdom's already crying out to us. Believe me. Follow me. Use me. That's what wisdom is saying. But no, we also need to cry after knowledge. If you don't know something, tell somebody. Figure it out. Find out what it means. What you need to know. Lift us up thy voice for understanding. When you cry for something and lift up your voice, you can probably cry for something without being too loud. Crying doesn't necessarily mean loud when thou criest. But when it says lift up thy voice, yeah, that's sort of now a loud voice, you know? Sort of lift it up, let it be heard, raise up your voice so that you can hear. If thou seekest her as silver, back to what does the sinners do? Yeah, they're all about the spoil, the purse, being rich, killing people for their food. We're going to fill our house for... No, we need to seek wisdom as those people are seeking silver. And the same way they seek silver, that's what you need to seek for wisdom. Most of us, though, no, we just, whatever comes my way, I'll take it and I'll believe it. And, you know, I'm going to live a whole bunch of years, so I'm just happy with whatever I've got. No. Cry out. Seek it. Instead of seeking all these other things, we need to seek wisdom, God's word as truth. And searches for her as for hid treasures. You know, you talk about, like, treasure hunts. I love the movies, Nicolas Cage's and National Treasures. Mm-hmm. It's all about, you know, Knights Templar and the treasures of Alexandria and all that kind of stuff, and he has to find all kinds of clues, and his whole life he's looking for this treasure, looking for this treasure. Everybody's telling him he's a nut, you don't want to do it, give it up, you put bad reputation on the family, he doesn't even use the family name because he's ashamed of it, they've got a reputation, he's still not giving up, he's going after it, and he finally finds it. Spoiler alert. He finally finds the treasure at the end of the movie. That is the way that we ought to be searching out wisdom and knowledge and understanding. With that kind of, I haven't got it yet, I've been studying for many, many years, and I still don't understand, I still don't know, but I'm not going to give up. The clues are in here. I'm getting closer. God has revealed this to me, revealed this to me. And God's given me more truth and more wisdom and more truth, and I'm still not there yet. I'm going to keep going. Now, to say this, I don't think we're ever going to stop the treasure hunt until we die.
Right.
We're never going to arrive and say, finally I can take it easy and I've got the treasure. No, the treasure hunt doesn't end in this lifetime. Because the Bible is so big, God is so big, we can't understand the Bible the way we really should. We can't understand God the way we really should. And we need to keep searching, though. That's what he says. Searches for her as for hid treasures. Now, these treasures that are hidden, who hid them? Did God hide them? In certain respects, God did hide them. He hid all kinds of things in his Bible that we're still searching things out and finding out things. It thrills my soul when somebody says something to me that I've never heard before. It's like, really? How did I live this many years and study the Bible as many years as I've, and I've never heard that before in my life? And that's great. I love learning something I didn't hear before. That means that I don't know it all. God's still got stuff in here for us to learn. And sometimes it is hidden. And somebody else has to give you a clue about what's going on here. And we need to do that. So, at the beginning of the wisdom section, wisdom cried outside. She uttered her voice in the streets. She cried in the chief place of the concourse, openings of the gate. In the city she uttered her words. You know, the wisdom, nobody is without excuse anymore. As many programs as on TV, on the internet, website, whatever, all that technology stuff, nobody is without excuse not to know who Jesus Christ is, that he is the true wisdom of God.
Amen.
That's one of the understandings of this wisdom here. Who is the true wisdom? That's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Wisdom personified. And there's nobody that can say, well, I didn't know. You know, nobody told me. Well, you can go into any hotel, well, maybe not anymore, but used to, you can go in any hotel room and pick up a Gideon Bible and take it home. Mm-hmm. You know, you say, well, isn't that stealing? No, the Gideons know that some of them are going to disappear. And if you take a Bible from the hotel room, God bless you. Read it. If you're going to read it, you know, now if you're going to take it away, just keep other people from reading it. You know, that's not right. But if you're going to take it and read it, take it. The Gideons know they're going to have to replace these Bibles every so often, you know? That the Word of God is disseminated throughout the society. And yes, nobody has an excuse not to hear wisdom crying. These people that come up with all these laws and the abortion stuff and the rainbow and all this stuff that they murdered, you know, there's wisdom out there. It's there. If they would just look for it, I mean, it's crying in the open streets. I mean, that's what wisdom's going.
Amen.
Here I am. Believe me. Trust me. Follow me. And that's what Jesus says.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
Amen.
A good contrast. The Bible uses contrast to teach. And that, was that the movie that they were looking for the precedence of Book of Secrets?
That's what, part two.
That's in part two.
Yeah.
I like those movies too. Well, thank you, Brother John, for that. Let's be dismissed in for this song. What number, brother?
475.
475. We'll sing a couple of verses. 475. I wish our new son of those things.
Read me by the blood of the Lamb. Read
we'll be dismissed in word of prayer and take a little break, then we'll have our business meeting. But I found out I didn't really, we're really supposed to do that. We have it in our bylaws to have it in the first Wednesday. But I made an executive decision. I always get in trouble when I do that. But we will be dismissed for a little time here. Brother Dan, would you dismiss us?
Dear Lord, most precious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for this message that we've heard, both messages, Lord. We thank you for them. We ask you to open our hearts and minds that we may use this and go back to it and just strengthen our lives that we may serve you better. We pray, Lord, that you do use us as a light to somebody here, Lord, the people that we work with, or who knows, just somebody we might meet on the street. Just maybe that will be the way they hear the truth, dear Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you just help us and give us some opportunities. We pray, Lord, that you be with this church here and just watch over this church and help us to do the things according to thy will, dear Lord, that and we thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us and this church, dear Lord. And we thank you for all your help and guidance each day. We pray that you just go with us now and watch over us. Be with the business meeting, dear Lord, and lead and guide and get there. We pray, Lord, that you forgive us when we sin and come short. All these things we pray in our Son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.